I don't know who I am on any given day.
You're having a day. You're just so pissed. You're just like, they're pissing all of us off. We're all
It's
mad.
Just like, the one thing about me is nobody listens to me until it's after it's happened to them.
Yeah. Remember the episode of South Park with Captain Hindsight?
Yeah, that's my favorite show.
Of course it is. I love so much of South Park. Like, I love the Tooth Decay episode where the Princess of Canada gets kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
And do the play about tooth decay. I love...
The Scientology episode's one of my favorite ones.
I love that one. I love the musical theater one with, like... that
with the blowjobs?
That special place, that blowjob place. I fucking love that episode. Oh, he's trying to stop Shelley from seeing Wicked. It's like... I love it. What happened?
Oh, it's working now.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Wicked. I watched it last night.
Everyone shut the fuck up. Discord has the floor. Okay. Tell me, let's start with what you didn't like about it, and then we'll talk about everything else.
I liked everything about it.
Let's get it started.
There's not one single thing I didn't like about it. Oh, wait. Lies.
Okay.
I feel like... No, I don't feel like. I know that I did not like Cynthia's makeup artist.
Interesting.
And I believe that upon watching the movie, they ended up not liking her makeup artist either.
Did you know she had prosthetic ears?
No, but what I noticed is I think that halfway through the movie, they switched from 100% makeup on her to CGI.
I don't know.
It didn't... The makeup in the beginning looked like makeup. And halfway through the movie, it didn't look like makeup anymore. It felt like they... Like, she might have had her makeup on, but I think they CGI enhanced it to make it more cohesive with her.
It's always a possibility.
Because I'm very picky about color makeup, and I think that there are ways to do it well, and there are ways to not do it well, and her makeup artist was bullshit. I don't know where, like, Hollywood finds makeup artists sometimes, but, like, she showed the makeup she used, and it was, like, green eyeshadow, and, like, this weird MAC makeup. Like, none of it was, like, theater makeup. Mm. And you could tell in the beginning of the movie. And then I was, like, halfway through, I was like, oh, I think they just CGI'd her. But other than that, that's it. That's my only complaint. It's just, like, I think they could have done a better job on her makeup.
Her wigs? Incredible.
Oh, incredible. Her voice?
That was 8 braiders over the course of 3 weeks, I believe. That did all the micro braids on those beautiful, beautiful wigs. Waist length.
Oh, yeah. Like, stunning.
Fuck me up thoroughly. That's crazy.
And I've gone so far out of my way since this movie came out to avoid any form of spoiler. Like,
oh, good.
I did not, like, so far that I didn't even listen to any of the music ahead of time.
Hard, because I was posting about it like crazy.
I did not listen to a single, like, studio version of Defying Gravity. Good. I didn't even know that Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth had a cameo in it.
I didn't either, because I did the same thing. I was like, I won't listen to it until I watch the movie. It's easy for me to avoid at that point in time. It was, you know, and I'm so glad that I did. And yeah, I was just like, oh my god, like,
I almost cried.
What part almost made you cry?
Defying Gravity. Because, like, that's when the movie gets the most political and the most, like, I'm about to fuck shit up. Like, that's when it goes from Catching Fire to Mockingjay.
That's, dude.
And
completely.
And I knew the movie was going to end there because that's where the play has the intermission.
Exactly. It makes the most sense.
But I wasn't ready. I was like, I want to watch the rest of it.
And one of the things I mentioned was, like, I know that it seems crazy that it's a 2.5-hour runtime, but they really use the runtime impeccably well. And it's, like, it's crazy how you really do go out feeling like that. Like, you were like, I wish we had another hour.
Yeah.
Or something. But you're like, I've been here for 2.5 hours.
Because we're getting right to, like, the uprising. Like, this is when shit's about to go down.
It is the perfect place for them to stop it.
Ariana was amazing.
Bro. My girl, dude...
I love her.
I
don't even listen to her, and I love her.
I have always been at least a little bit of an Ariana Grande fan. I've loved her when she's been Asian. I loved her when she's been Black.
That's Ari.
And this was one of those things where, like, because I have been a fan of her music and stuff like that, I know how much she's wanted this her entire life. And it was one of those things where the second she got cast and then people were kind of like, iffy about it. I'm like, y'all don't know.
Yeah, y'all don't know.
This woman
being iffy about it is crazy.
Everything she's probably ever done in her career so far to do this.
Because remember her version of Popular with Mika?
Yes, I do.
Like, she's been wanting this forever.
Yes, I do. Yeah. And she was just better than I thought she was gonna be.
Her vocal mannerisms, like, everything about it, I was just so happy. She even, like, threw some, like, I feel like she even threw some, like, little, like, Kristen Chenoweth, like, vocal.
Completely. Yeah, there's, like a nasaliness to her voice. Mm-hmm. It's really similar to the Kristen Chenoweth one. A lot of her physicality, I feel like. She improvised a lot of stuff. That high kick she improvised at one point, and they were like, we're doing that.
Yeah.
And, like, something I say all the time, and I love it, is when the monkeys are grabbing her leg. She says, give me my leg. Give me my leg.
And I want to talk about these monkeys.
Oh, dude, let's talk about it.
Because as I was editing our podcast yesterday, we went on a rant about baboons versus orangutans. Wow. And I was like, it's interesting how in The Wizard of Oz, they did not choose orangutans. No. They chose baboons. Yeah. Because they are frightening.
Frightening. Their transformation, like... I was not
that was visceral
body horror. I was like, this is the substance
like, baboon edition.
Monster Alyssa Sue was coming out of her back. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I like went like this. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. My child was a bit frightened for a moment.
And it when was it fucking scary.
Slammed against the window. And, like,
scared monkeys shit out of Ariana are Grande scary.
And everyone in the theater. Monkeys are terrifying.
Not okay with it.
Have you seen the Powerpuff Girls movie?
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene at the end where all the monkeys are taking over town?
Yeah. Baboons are not to be fucked with.
Vomit. They're scary. But, and in this, it's great that they are set up the way that they are, because it does kind of show... It initiates empathy instantly, seeing the pain that it put that put all of them in.
Yeah.
But also it ignites fear very easily, because you're like, okay, that's really sad, but these are really scary. Like,
yeah.
I don't... But Michelle Yeoh walking in slow motion with all those flying monkeys behind her. 4 + 4. 8. That was crazy.
I just love Jeff Goldblum so much.
I forgot that people... I forgot that they're trying to hide the fact that Jeff Goldblum is Elphaba's dad, right?
They were trying to hide that?
I forgot that that's what they're trying to do. But because
it was too obvious.
Because I know Jeff Goldblum's voice, and I know what his singing voice sounds like too, because I listened to his jazz shit.
Yeah.
When they did the song where she's like, oh, and things, one thing happens after another, as they always do, and he's singing to her and everything. I'm like, I forgot that they're trying to hide that this is Jeff Goldblum. But
yeah, it's impossible. They didn't do a good job at it.
It's too hard. Like, I... And he's great. And Peter Dinklage was good.
Who was he?
Dr. Dillemann.
Oh.
Right?
Fascinating.
I didn't know. Did not know that. Out too. And then Cynthia Erivo.
So, I've been following Cynthia Erivo's career for a couple of years. She won for Best Actress in a Theater Production, or a Musical Production, the year that Hamilton was nominated for all their stuff. She's the reason why Hamilton did not win every single award it was nominated for, because she won in that category for The Color Purple. She sings a song in The Color Purple called I'm Still Here that makes me cry every single time I hear it. And she said that that's the hardest song that she's ever sang. Oh. And I'll have to send this to you too, because it like breaks me down. It's so beautiful. And then she like, long story short, I love her. I think she's great. She's so obviously incredibly talented. And I was posting about it so much when they announced that she was going to be cast as Elphaba. I was like, I cannot wait for this bitch to show Idina Menzel what this role should be like.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for her to show her how to play Elphaba, essentially. Because, like, her little mannerisms and, like, her vocal choices and everything were just so...
Well, them ever casting a white person to be Elphaba is also crazy.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy. Like, it...
Like you had the whole... you had the book. You basically have a book.
Yeah.
And the book's context is loud. Mm-hmm. It's not... There's nothing secret or quiet or, like...
Yes.
Like, maybe about what this movie's about.
And I think one of the things I love about the movie that it was able to do was able to spend more time on moments that need more emotional weight. And there's not a time, like, there's not a like, hey, we got to get to the next scene because people can only be here for 2.5 hours for the whole thing. And so something like the Oz Dust Ballroom scene where they're dancing and everything and she's dancing by herself in the musical, that's played so comedically.
Yeah.
And then like Glinda just kind of joins in. They're like, oh my gosh, everything's fine. And like their choice to make this, like to drag this moment out and like give it the emotional weight that it deserves makes the whole rest of the movie so much better because we had this moment that like,
and they meant really something. Dragged that out to they make did. You feel it.
And bro, I was crying.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying.
They wanted you to feel like it was really crazy how they really, really dragged it out so long to try to make you feel even a fraction of what Elphaba was feeling in yes. that moment.
Yeah. And they did a fantastic mm-hmm. job. And the director, John Chu, he's also directed
Step Up,
In the Heights, which I love. And he's like known for doing like big numbers, really colorful stuff. I just think he was a perfect choice. And I'm so excited for the second part of it.
And for like Step Up 5.
How many do they have now?
Step Up 1, Step Up 2, The Streets.
Of course.
Step Up 3D. There's definitely a Step Up 4. I don't know if there's any past that.
Okay.
I've never seen Step Up 1.
Which ones have Channing Tatum?
I know 1 and 2.
Okay. So it's like maybe 3.
But the only one in the entire franchise that matters is Step Up 2, The Streets.
That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. I've heard that one is like the all-star.
Well, I have it on DVD that we can watch is a double feature with Spice World.
Oh my god. An all-star double feature. Brian and I were watching this YouTuber that I watch who like watches movies essentially, and they were watching Spy Kids 3D. And I've always said that if I need to select any movie to connect to another movie via its actors, Spy Kids 3D is the perfect movie. Spy Kids 3D or Spy Kids 2, because it has like
everyone.
Salma Hayek is in the third one. George Clooney is in 2 out of 3 of them, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Machete. Buscemi. Yes, the fucking Machete. Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Like, it's crazy. And I'm not even getting into the babes of this. I'm not even getting into the Carla Gugino.
Like, Spy Kids was a cultural phenomenon that was one of those things that was dropped too fast.
Oh, my God. Mm. And that movie still, like, the first and second one specifically hold up so well. Third one, garbage. Trash, garbage. Yeah,
as soon as you implement 3D,
it's things rough. Are not
going well.
It's rough. I saw Coraline in 3D recently because they did an anniversary release of it and they adjusted the 3D and that was actually really
cool. That's different because it's not like Coraline 2, the 3D version. Ugh. It's just, oh, we made this already good movie 3D. As soon as you're making a movie to be 3D, that's when... Because like, I love every Saw movie except for Saw 3D. And I hate it so much that I don't even consider it as canon.
What do you think of the Jigsaw movies?
It's fine. I literally, it was great. Even the one that they did with Chris Rock.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it as something separate. It didn't feel like a Saw movie. It felt like 7. Mm. Have you seen 7?
Oh, I love 7.
Yeah, it feels David like 7 because it feels like more of like a cop serial killer drama completely. Than it feels like a body like horror.
And it's not very green. Saw movies always have that green tint.
They
to
sure
it.
Do.
Very Twilight.
That was the 2000s.
They love a tint, mm-hmm. man. I have to show you something and then tell you why I didn't get it for you. Now, normally I hate when people do things like this to me. Like someone will be like, oh my God, I saw this thing I thought of you, but I didn't get it. And I'm like, okay. Oh, wow. That's really awesome. So there is this shirt that I was going to get for the both of us. These were going to be like our matching best friend shirts.
I love that.
and I'm so mad about the situation. So this is it. It was, it's, and I'll post it.
Oh,
it's
yeah, I love
a,
that.
It's a Hereditary shirt with like a metal font that says Hereditary. And then that's the back it. Of it is like Steve catching on fire, blah, blah, blah. Discord just recently gave me a Hereditary tattoo that I love. And so I was going to get this as like a thank you. Now, here's the problem. Uh-huh. I've had the link to this in like open in my phone for like God knows how long. Right. And then it comes time today for me to like look into buying it. And the link is gone. And it's not working. Oh. And I'm like, weird. Mm. Okay. And so I go on the Instagram. I try to go on the website. Nowhere to be seen. And I'm like, what's happening? Like, no, like, this whole company is gone.
Trump got it shut down.
So, so I go on a deep dive on Reddit.
Like, I need to find this shirt.
Because I'm really like, what the fuck's going on? Because I remember they were also made some shirts for the Substance I was really interested in getting too. And it had like the same concept. And
I really need some Substance merch.
I'm dying for one. I really am. It's either a shirt or a tattoo. So let's see. And so I'm looking through Reddit, and I find this whole thread of people that are like, I'm waiting on my Substance shirt, it's been 4 months. I'm waiting on my Hereditary shirt, it's been 5 months. And I'm like, what's happening here? And so I look into it, and apparently this dude who has this company had a previous company that was a very similar concept. It's like horror shirts with metal fonts. Mm-hmm. And he is like a creep, like was like messaging people that followed his website's Instagram, like pictures of himself shirtless in bed. And then like people were not getting their orders fulfilled. It was like stuck in a random state.
Like I ordered this shirt and all I got was this nude.
Yes, literally yes. And I was reading into this and I'm like, oh my God. So this dude probably completely like absolved this company.
Yeah, it's a scam.
And it's a scam. So that's why I didn't get the shirt.
I'll design this some shirts.
I'm just so mad because I really fucking loved it. Yeah, and that's a good shirt. I really want a shirt with Toni Collette screaming. And I just...
You can't go wrong with that.
You can't. Have you watched the Knives Out movies?
Oh, yes. I love Knives Out.
I love her in that. I love when she's like, I read a tweet about a New Yorker article about you. It's one of my favorite things. Like her, because I think like the things that I had seen her in went Hereditary and I saw her in Knives Out.
I'm going to cry when you watch United States of Terror. I don't even know where you can stream it at this point.
I should figure that out.
But you're just going to be so overjoyed.
I'm excited.
I think it's her best acting work ever.
No shit?
Because she has so many, you know, personalities that she has to switch through. Fair. So you just watch Toni Collette, like, switch between, like, vastly different characters, like, on a dime. And it's so fucking impressive. And the show, it's just so good. It's the only time I like Brie Larson.
A lot of people don't like Brie Larson. You don't like her in Scott Pilgrim?
She's there.
Oh, she's an icon. She's
like, she's fine. Like, she's just... I don't dislike Brie Larson, mm-hmm. but she's... Brie Larson is just there for me. She's just... When I think of just, like, blonde, white girl, nondescript, I think of Brie Larson, and I think of Blake Lively. Huh. And I'm like, I almost have facial blindness to both of them, where, like, if you tell me what they look like, I'm gonna have to Google it every time.
Each of those people, I have a movie that it's like a comfort movie for me, so because of that I recognize their faces.
I do know what Blake Lively looks like now because I've googled it so many times, and mm-hmm. I did like that movie that she's in with Anna Kendrick.
Oh, A Simple Favor.
That was a good one. That was cool.
I love Sister of the Traveling Pants.
That's a Blake Lively movie?
Yeah, it has Blake Lively, America Ferrera.
Yeah.
I knew America Alexis Ferrer. Bledel or something like that. I don't
think that movie's for me.
Oh, it's not. It's not for... You're not the... No offense, but you're not the target demo for Sisterhood of the Traveling Fans. None
taken. It seems too, like, feel good.
It is pretty feel good. Yeah. It's like each teenage girl has a different trauma, and...
Oh, now I'm done.
Yeah,
I don't need to know more.
Not for you. Couldn't imagine anything less for you. I can't wait for you to watch Gone Girl.
And I was gonna watch it yesterday. I really was, and then I found Wicked.
Like, hey,
so
you watched something that I can talk to you about. So I'm excited.
I knew you'd forgive me for that reason.
You need to do a double feature of Gone Girl and I Care a Lot.
I will never do a double feature of anything.
Didn't you just say you wanted to do a double feature of dumb movie A and dumb movie B?
In a hypothetical world.
Oh, God. Okay.
Like,
you don't have movies that you're watching back to back?
In one day?
Yeah.
I have too much to do.
I forget. Okay, that's fair. I'm a movies in the background person. Oh, you're a music in the background person. In the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's where we argue. This is where our differences.
Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to fucking talk about this soundbar thing? Listen.
I do, because it's bullshit.
Go ahead. Do you want to start? You seem irate.
I cannot physically imagine a world where you watch something out of the speakers of your own television. They weren't
I crank my TV so loud.
I don't care. They're flat.
Okay.
If they're that flat, they can't be built in with anything that can produce adequate sound.
It's pretty adequate.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not adequate.
But what if I can hear it okay?
You think you can. Like, yes, you can you make out the words that the people are saying?
Well, I have to have subtitles on.
Oh, yeah, probably because you are listening to it out of your...
I mean, no.
No, I know. Subtitles really do make things better. That is true. But no.
And you... even when you said that, I was like, this motherfucker also uses subtitles. I don't know why he's coming for me.
Just because you can hear the words doesn't mean that it's adequate.
Okay. I'm with you. I think I deserve better sound quality too, but it's not at the top of my list.
It honestly should be close to the top of your... What's on the top of your list?
That I want to buy?
I don't know. This is your list. This isn't at the top of it, is what you said, so I don't know what the list is.
I want to replace the carpet in my living room. Okay. I want to buy SZA's deluxe album on vinyl.
All of these should be below.
Below the sound bar?
They're not that expensive.
How much are we talking?
I don't know, but they're cheaper than carpet. I know that.
That's probably true.
Cheaper than carpet, more expensive than SZA's deluxe album.
$69.99.
Yeah, it's
probably... four discs.
I would bet you could get a good sound bar for maximum... Well, I mean, like maximum a lot of money, but like you probably don't need to spend more than $120.
But then I'm going to have to hide more cords.
You just put the sound bar in front of the TV and then tuck it away.
Tuck it away? My TV's mounted.
Figure it out.
Are you kidding me?
I'll come over. I'll figure it out.
You're going to drill holes in my wall?
No.
Then how are you going to hide the... Do you see? How are you going to hide the wires?
Okay, then I guess it's not a sound bar. We have to figure something else out.
So you see my dilemma. No. You see how already we're working so hard? Just for me to what? Watch Hey Arnold a little louder?
Do you know how much better New Moon will sound?
You don't get to do that. Here's what you don't get to do on Black History Month is come from my Twilight movies and try to use those against me. Yeah,
famous black film.
Okay. New Moon. I just mean because you're attacking me. New Moon is not black in any... The only black character dies, actually, in New Moon. He's the only one we get. But what I'm saying is you're coming for me on this shortest month of the year?
The sound in which is gracing your ears.
Well, we'll have to do a fun episode where after you buy me one, I'll review it. And then we'll say, guys... My life's been changed. Because if a man cares this much about something, then he can pay for it for me. That's always been my motto. And that's going to stay my motto going into 2025.
It's just crazy.
And I could kick your speakers for your vinyl player across the football field.
What if I suddenly turned something on and you were wrong?
Then... I would look out your window to see the pigs flying.
I don't know if you're wrong, actually. I'm not. I think they sound fine.
Fine?
They're better than my TV speakers.
Yeah, you wouldn't listen to a whole album on your TV speakers.
Never.
That wouldn't make sense. But you might watch a movie using your TV speakers.
Which is basically a director's album. You love movies.
I do.
So, which is why this is a crazy argument.
I'm a simple gal. Like, I really am. Like, I do not want for much, but I just want to be able to watch The Wolf of Wall Street and then watch it again immediately.
And hear it blown out.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Why not?
We're watching a 3-hour movie on, like, blown out speakers.
Volume up to 70.
It would have to be.
Yeah. And it's and great. And they're whispering. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as long as we know.
And then I watch an Avengers movie. I'm like, oh my God, it's so fucking loud. Oh my God,
but this is literally hurting me.
Yeah, no, it does.
It's
hurt.
Not right.
The event, yeah.
It hurts. Yeah, see? It does hurt. It shouldn't be nothing we should be hurting.
Hey.
I've got a speaker there, a speaker there, a speaker there.
That is nice.
Yeah, but I gotta tell you, If I could sue Steve Jobs for one thing, it would be these Apple speakers.
Oh, they're all Apple speakers?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
They're all HomePods.
That takes forever to set up.
Well, and then plot twist, mm-hmm. you can only pair two of them. And then the third one has to be, like, Bluetooth. So it's like, no.
You see, they're making a fool out of you yet.
Oh, they did.
And they spit, I'm the idiot.
They spit in my face. Steve Jobs reached his dead hand out of the ground and slapped me.
He spit on his hand and went,
psh, psh, psh. Oh, he sure the fuck did.
And I'm the idiot because I don't have
the
misery that you live in.
You're listening to it out of a speaker the size of a grain of rice.
You make it seem like I'm using a tin can.
That's actually the most perfect example of what it sounds like, actually.
You're an idiot.
No, you are listening out of a tin can. That's exactly it.
Oh, my God.
Now that you mention it.
You're too much.
Let's go on. What else? I'm too much. I'm too much because I want my friend to have good sound quality while she's changing her life watching Gone Girl.
Who even knows if we're going to be friends after this? Like, this if we were married, I would be writing up divorce papers.
If we were married, I would have already had the soundbar, like, Amazon to be delivered tomorrow.
That's nice to know that you'd be a good husband.
Thank you.
Which I had a feeling. That all makes sense to me. What a how long?
Like, I take it all back.
I'm like, you know what? We're fine. Never mind. In our hypothetical marriage, everything's okay. That's if we ever have an argument again, I'm gonna be like, no. What about our hypothetical marriage? How would we figure this out? I can't. It's so stupid. I'm gonna use this all the time though, just to solve our arguments. I can't imagine what the next thing is going to be that you are willing to spend 30 minutes reaming me over the coals for.
It could be anything.
Can we talk about abracadabra?
Yeah, we sure can talk about abracadabra.
I want you to start.
It's the only thing I'm happy about this week.
So we should get into it. So the Grammys are happening. People are winning. Blah, 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 blah. Then for MasterCard, Miss... Lady herself.
Miss Stephanie Miss Germanotta. Angelina Germanotta.
Angelina?
Stephanie Angelina Germanotta. That's Joanne Germanotta. Sorry.
Oh, about to say.
Whoa.
She's about to put her hat back on. Don't you dare forget.
We can't let that happen.
So the MasterCard comes out. The commercial happens. And it's the Lady Gaga that truly, I can say, we all know and
we
love.
All know. It
like
was pure
quintessential.
Lady Gaga. So this video is Bad Romance. This video is Alejandro. Dude. This video is... It's giving choreography that I assumed that it was, like, fast-forwarded. You know what I mean? It was happening so fast that I was like, oh, she did the choreography and they just made it go faster. And then they showed the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. No, bitch is doing it that quick.
And shout out to the Royal Family dance crew for being the dance crew. I believe Paris is the name of the choreographer. They've done the dances for quite a few music videos over the past couple years, but most famously the Justin Bieber music videos. I can't remember the name of the songs right now. But they are otherworldly. And her ability to... Because they're professional dancers. I'm not saying Lady Gaga isn't a professional dancer, but she's not a professional dancer. Like, they're professional dancers.
And I think she just fired her choreographer.
Love that.
So it turns out she needed to.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And her ability to keep up with these people... Because I know that we're all obsessed with the black chunk and then swiping over to the white chunk. That's the part that everyone's living for.
It's so cool.
Her spinning her head around, like how she was when that fucking hat.
The other part that I loved. I did love the chair dancing, but her little hobblegoblin dance with the cane, where she's just like, but like, in a choreographed dance at the same time. But also, that character must mean something to her, because that same character is basically in Disease.
So what are we going to get?
It's very obviously, like, she's been yapping about it for so long. It's
Shut the fuck up
like,
about
it. It's her chaotic side versus her non-chaotic side and how it fights against her, but she needs to harness both of them at the same time. So I think that's what we're getting here, is, like, her chaos is that little... hobblegoblin.
It's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr.
it's
Hyde.
It's definitely
sort of
that, and apparently it iterates itself in a hunched over cane villain. All right. I'm here for it. Because the Kane villain's my favorite part of both of these videos.
It is what it is.
But, I'm what's fascinating, she thinks everything out so hard, right? Because, like,
yeah.
I do think Abracadabra is a stronger single, and I think it would have been the perfect lead single.
Which is kind of hard to say, because Disease was really, like...
really fucking good.
Incredibly impactful as a first single, but really, Abracadabra, just the energy of it is completely different.
But apparently, like, Abracadabra is also such an old term that, like, they also... it was, like, a term that was used as in spells to heal diseases. Period. It's like, that dumb bitch. She gets me every time. It's so planned out.
Ugh. Dude. Do you think it's going to be everything's going to link into each other? I think we're going to get something like that.
I love a concept album, so I wouldn't be mad.
I feel like it's been a while since she's done, like, a really... I guess Chromatica was the last one, but...
Mm-hmm. This is going to be... This song felt like she took the Fame Monster, Born This Way, Art Pop, and Chromatica, and then mashed them into one singular song.
Yep.
And she left out the Fame and Joanne, because it's fine.
I do love the Fame, though.
Yeah, for what it was.
Summer Boy is one of my favorite songs.
That wasn't in Abracadabra.
No. It doesn't need to be. that music video, the Summer Boy music video.
Is there a video for that?
Yes. It is blown out. It looks like the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And it's her with, like, in a blue bathing suit, hair bow, walking around Little Italy. That's
AA, nothing else I can say. Isn't it?
What did I say?
Summer Boy.
No, I think she might have done this twice. I'm so serious, because I know that, oh my god, girl.
Because AA, that is a video where she's in that little, she has that, right?
Yeah, no, she sure does. What am I, maybe I'm spreading false information, but you I also be. Don't think so.
I think you might be. It's okay. It's the Fame.
The people will Google it themselves. And
AA is such a particular song. She's never had a song like that again.
No. And thank God, because it's like, I don't know, man. Like, sometimes she's, it's interesting when you see artists like perfect, in the pocket, and then you see them do something else, and you're kind of like, are you just trying different stuff just to try it, or are you trying it because you think it's going to be a good idea?
I think she's just a brilliant genius, and so I think that she knew what the Fame needed to be
in order to
make Born This Way.
Yeah.
I think she has always been Born This Way, and that she needed to do what she needed to do to be that. So that's even why it's called the Fame. You know what I mean? Like, this is my album to be famous. Because she's even been quoted in interviews to say, like, if I needed to write a top 40 song to be number one, I could do that in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, the fuck you could, because it's easy. And you did it.
And she did it time and time again, really. Like, it's... And it was really... I will... It's my favorite thing to talk about. The 2009 Video Music Awards. Unfortunately, it's my favorite... I love talking about those awards more than I love talking about myself, which is really saying something. But, like, that...
it changed the whole course of...
her whole career. And that was when...
not even her whole career.
Oh, pop culture. Yeah. Like, that... oh, my God. That day. I can't. We're going to have to do a whole other episode just talking about those fucking awards. Because I will make flashcards. But, like, that moment where she did Paparazzi... was when she became, like, the Lady Gaga that we know her as.
The gasp, the audible gasps in the audience.
Dude! I've never seen anything like it.
And you never will again. You genuinely almost never will again.
Yes. It was truly, like, a once-in-a-lifetime moment. I remember looking up, I was using torrents on my school computer the next day so I could watch that performance. Every time I was by a computer in a class, I was like... it was me and probably three gay friends lined up. We're all looking at it at different angles and shit. Yeah. Like, there were plenty of articles like, it wasn't real. Was she actually bleeding on stage?
Yeah.
And like, this is what she wants. I love this. Like, it's
genuinely so one of my favorite pieces of advice for people, or like for artists specifically. And like, I've used it time and time again, is like, you have to release the fame before you can release Born This Way.
And that's okay.
And yeah, it's okay. And it's like, you also have to understand, like, what that means.
Yes!
You know what I mean? It's like, but it's just so true. Like, if you want to be able to be weird on a mainstream level, you have to be willing to not be for at least a second.
Doechii did the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's so fucking cool.
Oh, my God. And we should talk about her, actually.
We should talk about
because
her.
Because Doechii is now the third woman to win the award of Best Rap Album behind Lauryn Hill and who was the other person? Fuck. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. No one burn me at the stake. I can't remember the third person.
Her come up happened fast. So fast.
Yeah, because she had a popular song on TikTok that was like her radio song, like her The Fame song, that was only super popular within like the last year. I'm so glad that she's getting her flowers. I think that...
And that quickly.
That quickly. Yeah. Like, she posted a video on YouTube, like, a year and a half ago, saying, like, I got fired from my job. Thank God. I can focus on what's important. And...
That's my goal.
Like, it's been a year of artists evolving very quickly. Like Sabrina Carpenter, like, huge boom. Mm-hmm. Chapel Roan, huge boom. Doechii, huge boom. Like, and I can't imagine how overwhelming it is for all of them. But I'm glad that they're getting awarded for it. And clearly... There was a big change in the Recording Academy and their diversity as far as, like, their voters, and they have 13,000 new people.
This is one of the only years that I've actually decided to watch, like, the Grammys.
Yeah.
Like, usually I just cherry pick what I'm gonna, like, which performers I'm gonna watch on YouTube the next day. But this year I was like, oh. Well, this was one of those rare years in music. This was what I think the equivalent to 2016 or 2017. It was either 2016 or 2017 where everyone
was
released.
Good.
It was just like a stacked year of music.
Every now and then we get one of those. And I would completely agree.
It was whatever year Art Pop came out. It was...
Let's find out.
Yeah, so not 2016 or 2017. It's probably 2014. But if you look at the albums that came out that year, mm-hmm. it's fucking crazy. It feels like a leap year. So just look up what albums came out that year. Like, don't even look at the Grammys. Because they didn't nom. Because I think, like, Daft Punk, Kanye, oh, like, it God. Was, like, Rihanna. It was just everything. Yeah, that was Yeezus, Vampire Weekend, Daft Punk, Churches, The National, Sky Fiera, Never Again, Arcade Fire. Uh-oh. We're bound to talk about Drake.
AM Arctic Monkeys came out in Pure Heroin by Lorde came out in 2013.
That's what I'm saying. It was the last, like, golden year of music, and I feel like that's what this last year felt like to me.
Bangers came out in 2013.
Yes, it did.
Oh, my God. White women were eating that.
Haim.
Oh, my God.
Justin Timberlake 2020 experience.
That was, like, his last good... MIA's, oh my God, that's one that has Bad Girls on it. That album fucks. Beyonce self-titled album. Save Rock and Roll by Fall Out Boy came out that. Because the Internet by Donald Glover, dude.
2013 was one of the best years of music of all time.
That's exhausting.
I know.
Electric Lady by Janelle Monáe came out. Oh my good God, Lord. Damn.
Yeah. And that's how this last year felt for me.
Oh my God, I would love if one day for a podcast we could bring each other, like, top three best years of modern music in the past 25
years.
Well,
we sure can.
I would love that.
It we just, are like, the modern Wayne's World.
Which one are you?
Depends on the day, probably.
That's fair. we do a Trixie and Katya comparison a lot. And I think it
jumps
changes.
Back and forth.
Do you watch Broad City?
Yes. I love Broad City.
One
of my favorite episodes is when she's tripping balls walking through the city and that, like, giant, like, stuffed animal is coming after
her.
Oh
my God. And she's like, buy the Manuka, honey, Abby. You said that you wanted to have more than 3 credit cards to feel like an adult. Buy it. That episode's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one. I love the one where they are trying to go to the dog wedding and Abby falls in the hole.
Yes.
And she's like playing a fucking American Idol with the items from her bag. And she's like, Fig, you're going to Hollywood, my friend. I love that show. And that was like it ended perfectly. It ended like so sad and so beautifully with like Abby like moving to a different state and everything. I'm like, oh my god, that's so real. That's too real.
She was just on a show that I just watched recently, and I was excited to see her there.
She's in she does a lot of stuff. Like, she has a lot of voice acting stuff.
Oh really?
Yeah, she's in a show called Disenchantment, which is by the same. Oh yeah, I like that show. Yeah, it's on Netflix. You've probably seen stuff for it. And she's in BoJack Horseman, which I'm dying to get you to watch.
But that's I should watch more of that.
That's it.
I love adult animation, so that, it's not hard to get me to watch
that. It's one of the best ones, and if you want something that's going to be a little existential, yeah. Really yeah. existential. They have a whole episode that's, I think it's the second to last episode, where it's a whole episode about suicide.
Oh, of course.
And they have, they have a moment where a character is reading a poem called The View from Halfway Down, and it's a poem that's a poem that his subconscious wrote postmortem that of him jumping off the bridge to kill himself, and he like is looking at the water halfway down off the bridge, and it's like it's devastating. And the YouTube comments on something like that, a lot of people are like, this actually helped me change my mind on quite a few things.
Oh, that's great.
It is great. It's, and I'm like, that's incredibly powerful. Like, that's nuts. And it has a lot to say about the industry. There's a whole episode called Thoughts and Prayers where there's the fucking like agents are pissed because so many shootings are happening that they have to change their movies because they involve guns. And so they'll be like, oh guys, there's another shooting and this and this and this, and like, oh my god, thoughts and prayers. Anyway, let's figure out this movie. And then the fucking kicker is they're like, oh yeah, thoughts and prayers. They're like, man, the men have to stop doing it. And they're like, no, it was a woman this time. And then they're all like, no, this can't happen. We have a whole movie about feminism and having guns. And then it causes a whole situation where women start carrying guns to feel safer. And then the state of California bans guns entirely because they don't want women to have guns. And one of the characters says, wow, I can't believe this country loves women more than it hates guns. And then the other character says, really? It's so good. Yeah, yes. It's crazy.
No, I have to watch that.
You do. You'll have a great time.
I don't mean to shift focus, but we need to rewind back to the Grammys.
Yeah.
Only because we haven't talked about Drake yet this episode.
I have updates on Drake. I this man did a concert recently, and he
had the audacity.
Yeah. Oh, that's not that ain't even where I can't. Oh, I can't wait to tell you this. He's walking down into the fucking audience, to the stage, we can assume, black hoodie with bullet holes in it.
Oh.
And smoke coming out of his back, as to appear that he is so wounded by what has been going on in recent events, as if the Super Bowl is not about to happen on Sunday.
That's so embarrassing.
Isn't that embarrassing?
Why does he not stop being embarrassing? Why doesn't he know that's embarrassing?
I know.
Why doesn't he know?
Because he thought the other things he was doing was cool.
Like suing him for being anti-Semitic? That's crazy. I'm telling you.
Tell
him. So I was talking to my friend Luther the other day, mm-hmm. and I was telling him my ultimate dream fantasy mm-hmm. that I told you, where Kendrick Lamar comes out a la Slim Shady
the wheelchair
with
jimmies.
A choir of, yes, wheelchair jimmies with a synchronized, full synchronized dance to They Not Like Us with wheelchair jimmies. I would cry. It's just it's how I know I'm going to be disappointed at at the Super Bowl, because it's the literal only thing I want to happen.
You're setting an impossible expectation.
I know, because in my head, it's the most obvious thing to do. And I don't think anybody else is thinking about it.
Here is what's been happening, though. Like, everything that people were like, Kendrick should do this. He's done something 10 times more vicious. You understand what I'm saying? Like, everyone's like, oh my god, Kendrick's gonna say this. And he's like, I'm gonna call out your child by name. I'm gonna call out your mother by name. I'm gonna call you a pedophile, and everyone's gonna sing along to it. So there's
a
chance.
At the Grammys, yes. When the entire Grammy celebrity audience said, A minor! Oh. I lost my god. If I were Drake, If I were Drake, I would never show my face again. But if Drake were Drake, apparently he's just going to walk through the crowd with fake bullet wounds on his chest.
And let me tell you another layer about that that makes that even funnier. So The Weeknd, a couple years ago, was essentially like, Grammys are fixed. He's right. Grammys are fixed. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm pulling my music from consideration and I won't perform in the future.
I can't believe they got him back.
So Drake said a similar thing a little time after The Weeknd did. So Drake hasn't been nominated for Grammys in years, and neither has The Weeknd. The Weeknd did this performance and is essentially coming back and is like cool with them again, mm-hmm. because they've had a new diversity change within the Academy. And so now Drake is even alone in that. The one person that was in solidarity with him on something just went and performed on the same night that Kendrick Lamar wore a Canadian tuxedo and went on stage.
Wait, pause. I knew that he wore a Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah.
I didn't until this exact very millisecond understand the connection to Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye.
Drake is also on his tour going to be in Toronto, I think on Father's Day.
Not the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah.
Why didn't I realize that until just now?
And I noticed when he was walking up on stage that he was walking a little slow, almost as if he was wanting the worst part of the song to play out, because they played the chunk that's, say, Drake, I hear you like him young. You better not ever go to cell block one. And any bitch you talk to when they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They played that whole chunk as he was walking off to that stage. Everyone in the crowd got to hear Kendrick Lamar say certified lover boy, certified pedophile as he went on stage to accept his fifth Grammy, the most awarded rap song in history in the Grammys. And it was
then. It's a diss track. Diss tracks don't get nominated.
They sure
diss tracks are just to be diss tracks. They're not Grammy nominated songs.
In the same Drake. Can I tell you another thing? Drake only has
pause.
Gotcha.
Hold your thought.
I will.
Go.
Sister, let me tell you this. Sister, that's my tea towel. I've been thinking about that all week. Sister, that's my tea towel. So, Drake only has 5 Grammys. Kendrick won. The entirety of Grammys that Drake has accumulated in his whole career off of one song about him. The Super Bowl we're excited about. It's the New Orleans style funeral that will take place in the middle of the Super Bowl.
I'm more excited to watch this than when they told me Lady Gaga was performing at the Super Bowl. Because this is what a Scorpio podcast is about.
Yes.
Is getting to publicly humiliate your enemy
and be at awarded the Super for Bowl? It, and you're being awarded for it.
And I didn't even see that any of that coming.
Dude, it's actually crazy.
Every time I was like, I hope Chapel wins. And they were like, Kendrick Lamar. I was like, great. Great. And give
then,
it to him.
And then it didn't. Before 3 p.m., he had already won 2 Grammys.
Yeah.
Record of the Year and Song of the Year, which, by the way, for those who don't know, people always say, oh my god, what's the fucking difference? Record of the Year goes to the producer of the song. Song of the Year goes to the artist of the song. So if it's good to win both. Winning those, essentially, before the sun's even...
Before the sun even the sets.
Before the sun even sets. You're halfway there. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And to have Diana Ross give you the award... Diana Ross was in the room while everyone called Drake a pedophile. Diana Ross!
Well, I would have loved to be in Drake's brain when he found out.
My friend was there. There's a video of her recording it. And hearing it from her POV, they were loud.
I was at the Grammys the year that Beyonce performed Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know, Until Like a Boy. And that was really good.
That was really good. Do you know that song's a cover? Not the Alanis Morissette one, obviously. But If I Were a Boy is a cover.
Really?
Yeah. That's not her original song.
I did not know that.
I know. No one ever will.
Who was the original artist?
Some nobody.
I don't fucking know.
Did she credit them or did she claim it was hers?
I think it's Beyonce. Credited.
It could. It's hard to say.
The next episode that we do will be after the Super Bowl, so I'm so excited to
bring up Drake again.
Can we talk about music a lot in this episode.
It's our favorite.
I'm going to keep it going. We need to discuss how
much you've been starting to like Azalea Banks.
No, because you haven't made me the playlist.
But
yet.
I haven't needed to because we've been hanging out so much. I've been able to just slip her into your subconscious.
That's true, and you have. I really like that beach song.
Oh, that was the one that you liked?
Yeah, I fuck with that one.
That was the one I wasn't going to put in the playlist. Oh, like, this song's so fun, but the other songs are good.
No, put the weird ones in there. Okay. Because I, like, there's a band, Best Coast, that I love. That's, like, the most, like, California beachy band, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of that. Yeah. But, like, a more up-tempo version of it.
But keep going. I hijacked what you were going to say.
Oh, it's fine. It's rarely hijacking. It's more like, let me borrow this. And it's like, oh, I was just writing on that. And they're like, I'll be right back. But no, what I wanted to talk about, just like briefly as we want, Pete Wentz is one of the best lyricists of our generation.
Oh, yeah. And agreed.
I know that a lot of people don't believe us.
They don't.
But that's only because you haven't looked up the lyrics of Fall Out Boy songs. Because I know that Fall Out Boy songs are hard to understand. I get it. We all know it. We've all been on the internet before.
You need to just, like, we need to fake people out and be like, hey, what do you think about this poem?
Mm-hmm.
And then send them the Fall Out Boy lyric. Mm-hmm. And then when they say that's amazing, be like, okay, that's a Fall Out Boy song.
Yes. I post very frequently about things that I love, especially, like, songs and stuff. And, like, I posted a lot about the song Head First Slide into Cooperstown on a Bad Bet by Fall Out Boy, which I think is a perfect Fall Out Boy song. I think it's the perfect example of what they can do musically, vocally, production-wise. And it's one of those things where I think it's so underrated. It's a beautiful, like, narrative story. And I'm like, not everyone fucking knows about this. And, like, everyone's version of Fall Out Boy is completely different. And some people have the worst version.
They sure do.
Where it's, like, immortals and centuries.
Yeah,
and
it's Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. But, like, at their core, they're such an incredible band, and there's so many bands like that, like, people just need to read lyrics, and I think it's really beneficial to fucking read lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, and
especially in, like, this current state where lyrics are bad.
Yes. Yes. Because sometimes that's the only way you can tell a song is bad. Because, mm-hmm. like, if you're hearing it enough, you're like, it's catchy, whatever. But if you read it, you're like, oh, think you're the shit bitch, you ain't even a fart, is bad. This is not of good quality. Mind you shouldn't have to fucking read that to know that. I just have strong Ice Spice feelings, but, like, you understand what I'm saying?
That's an Ice Spice lyric.
It is. It's bad. Like,
I've known you've had strong feelings about her, but I didn't know where or why they stemmed from. No, I know.
If you think I don't like Azealia Banks, just start talking to me about Ice Spice.
And I don't like think you... Banks no, here's the thing is, like, I don't think you don't like Azealia Banks. I just think I'm here to convince you that you do like her.
Cut the cameras, because...
Like, I don't think you don't like her. I just think you have to be convinced that you do like her.
I swear to God, in another podcast, you're like, why do you hate Azealia Banks? Dude, that was another thing at the Grammys that made me fucking cringe, is them being like, please donate to this. LA I'm like, strong. How many millions LA... and billionaires are in this
what
room?
About North Carolina?
Bro!
Where they're trapped in the mountains, freezing and dying.
And you're asking me for money?
You're asking me for a single red cent?
Trevor Noah, how about you give?
How about you donate me an egg? Do you know how much eggs are?
Bro, you can sell an egg and fucking fix the fires in California. It's going to be a $30,000
egg. Trevor Noah was pretending to cry every commercial break.
It was too much. It's...
Him crying after Chapel Roan was speaking. I was like, you're lying to me.
I'm... you're lying to me.
He was.
And, hey.
Him specifically.
I love you saying he, him, specifically.
Did I say that?
You did. he/him specifically.
Yeah, he was lying.
It cringed me out. And yeah. Made me upset. And I was like, okay, guys, you're not gonna... I feel bad. I'm from California. That's where I was born and raised. And, like, also, I don't even have to be from there for this to be devastating.
True.
And I just... I'm like, why are you pointing at me? Why are you showing me? I know. I'm well aware.
Where was the North Carolina fundraiser?
So, I saw a teaser ad for a movie with Julianne Moore and Tilda Swinton. Ooh. And it was them talking on a park bench and they're talking about a lover that they had shared. I thought...
That sounds like the most them movie ever.
Absolutely, right? And so I thought that they were like a mother and daughter who had experienced like having sex with the same guy. That's what I thought. And so I was like, Brian, I want to see this movie. That sounds great. That sounds crazy. I'm sure it's so in depth. That is not what that movie was about. So this movie, which is called The Room Next Door, is actually about a woman, Tilda Swinton, who has stage 4 cancer, who decides that she wants to end her life on her own terms.
I'm
she
absolutely, wants... I guarantee you, I promise you right the uh-huh. fuck right now, I am not watching that. There's not a shot in the dark that
so
I'm...
So she asks Julianne Moore, I want you to be in the room next door to me when I decide to take my own life.
No.
So I thought that this movie that Brian, like, took me to this really cool speakeasy Dracula-themed, like, bar thing. And it was like, oh, yeah, and we're going to walk down the street and see that movie that you want to see. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so romantic. And it was a surprise day. I didn't know anything. And we were, like, 10 minutes into the movie. And we were both like, this is not at all. Because I did not look up a full trailer. I didn't Google anything. No, that's the best way to go into a movie,
I think.
And, like, 10 minutes in, we were both like, oh, my God. And I even turned around. I was like, oh, I wouldn't mind if you want to leave. I understand that this is not what we... we're signing up for, but we stuck around, and let me tell you
finished it.
We finished it, and like
you have to.
And Brian was like, "What was that movie about? What were they trying to tell me?"
Yeah,
because it's like it's kind of like a play, and anyway, so like the whole thing is that she like buys a pill. She's like, "I'm gonna rent this house, and then like you'll know that I've done it when the door to my bedroom is closed," right? So it happens. She does it. She kills herself. But my question to you is, if you were to kill yourself in like a grandiose way,
yeah,
what is the way that you would do it?
As of right now in my life, right now, currently,
sure.
I would hang myself mm-hmm. above fragrance and Ulta for them all to see. I just want them all to see what retail does to the soul.
I love that. That's that one book, right? Retail for the Soul, like Chicken
Soup. Oh yeah, that's exactly it, and that's how the book ends. Bodies above fragrance.
Bodies above fragrance. That is
that's pretty good. I want them to know what they've done to me, and to everybody else working for them, whether they care to admit it or not, because that's ultimately what every retail worker feels.
Ultimately,
yeah. Yep. That's where they got the name.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Ultimately, it's suicide. Awful. Ultimate suicide. But you want to let them know that.
Yeah, keep it up. We're all end up bodies above fragrance.
That's so crazy. It's an omen.
This
will happen to all
It's like
employees.
When Katniss strings up that body for her.
I was literally thinking that.
That's how I feel.
Literally thinking that. I fucking live for that.
Instead of killing myself above Ulta, I'd like to change it right now because I want the viewers to know that at International Plaza, Tampa, Florida, Sephora, right next to the airport, there is shit leaking from the ceiling. And the shit has been leaking through the pipes for the past many, many, many years. And they refuse to do anything about it, which I think is an OSHA violation. I want my body to be plunged out of the ceiling. On a noose, obviously. That's how you die.
Obviously.
With the shit pipes. I want it to rain shit and my body from the ceiling in that Sephora in Tampa, Florida.
What song are we playing in the background?
Oh my God, that's an incredible... Oh, Hang Me From the Heavens by The Dead Weather.
I'll make sure it happens.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want that store to never be open again. And I think that's a surefire way to make it happen.
That situation, no pun intended, is so shitty.
I want this clip to be readily available for me to post on my...
I'll make sure of it.
On my TikTok.
I will make sure of it. Because it's like...
What are you going to do, fire me? I don't come to your store. Maybe stop letting shit leak into your fucking employees' noses. That's not safe. And then they're like... Then they count... When the girls get nauseous... and can't come into work, those call-offs count against them, even though it's an OSHA violation.
Yeah.
You can't safely breathe in poop.
That's despicable. Like, it's... And with them being how strict they were during, like the peak of COVID and everything, like, how restrictive they were on, like...
Oh, wear your mask, wear your mask. Oh, there's literal shit in the on the lipstick.
Where's that urgency when shit's flying?
Because here's the thing. If you can smell it, then the particles are there. And if the particles are there, then the particles are on the lipstick. And if the particles are on the lipstick, then the particles are on your mouth. And you are testing shit lipstick.
Y'all... Don't use testers in makeup stores.
Y'all, don't go to International Plaza Sephora in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Here's what I love. I have wide bridges that I'll set, like, little fires to.
Oh, just little ones?
You're making gasoline, making a bridge out of popsicle sticks this big. You're like, let's light this bitch up. Let's
light it up.
And I love it.
I want to be unhirable.
To mark you as unhirable.
Oh yeah, that way I have no choice but to not do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because like if it's an option to fall back on, then I will.
For sure.
But if I'm forced to rise from the ashes of the fires in which I cast, then I will.
Katniss, you just Miss Everdeen over here.